I've been hearing some good reports about the revival, the way God's been doing, how He changed and rearranged you, and I'm excited about that. And I'm just believing that God is going to continue to change and rearrange, and He's going to continue to make all things brand new. Amen. Father, I thank You tonight, and I give You honor, and I give You glory. And Father, we didn't stop revival. We're going to keep on and going. And God, tonight, I'm going to be teaching about an angel. So I'm asking You, Father, that Your angels be walking to and fro throughout this room tonight. That You open up Your children's spiritual eyes and they can see that angel as they walk to and fro. And Father, give us discernment to know what is of You and what is not. Give us wisdom, Father God, so we can grow in stature in You. And we will not slip backwards. And Father, I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, do not ignore the angel of transition. There's an angel of transition that's been around for about a year now. It's from what God told me. We have to really start using our angels. They are there for purpose, and everybody goes to heaven says that the angels are standing up there with their arms crossed, just waiting for an assignment from somebody. So maybe you need to start telling the angels of God to go and protect people or do whatever, you know, it is that you need done. We can ask the Lord to dispatch His warring angels, but if we stop there, we are limiting God. Before 2016 even began, the Lord told me 2016 would be a year of shifting seasons and suddenlies. And God has been shifting things, has He not? And some of you have had some suddenlies come upon you. And that means transitions. Many are reporting shifting seasons, suddenlies, and transitions, or feel one coming on. Others are frustrated because they bear witness to the prophetic word but feel stuck. Consider what the Lord told me. But let's just stop there. A lot of people are in transition, like I was, and God said, you just don't understand what I'm doing with you, therefore you're uncomfortable with the new because I'm taking you from the old to the new. Now, a lot of people are in the transition, and they don't understand either what's going on in their life. God is trying to take everything old out of your life, and He's trying to transition everything new into your life. He's trying to transition the kingdom of heaven into your life. He wants you to get rid of everything that is not of Him and just follow Him with all your heart. That's what God's after. And God wants to help us in this transition period. He does not want us to leave us stranded. All right? But He wants to help us. Now, God said, many neglect the angels of transition and they bypass the help I have sent to transition them into the next stage of their journey. Many ignore the angels of transition and therefore fail to enter into the new place I have set aside for them at the appointed time. Many are working in their own strength, struggling in the flesh, and failing to embrace the work of my angels on assignment, all right, to help them transition into the new thing. Look for the angels in times of transition. God was dealing with me today that we really need to ask Him to open up our spiritual eyes so we can literally see these angels, not just glance them out of the corner of your eyes, but in the days of old, and I'm talking about us people, not in the Bible, people saw angels all the time. And so if that's the case, and that is the case, then we need to be starting to see the angels also, because God told us that the angels would be everywhere and they would be working with us. And if we would actually be able to see them. So do we believe God or not? I think the reason why we don't see angels too much or not at all is because we really aren't thinking about angels and we're really not expecting them to appear. We talk about it here and there and hit and miss, but tonight God really wants you to understand that there are angels, and He does want us to start using them, and He wants us to start seeing them. And I'm going to tell you right now, the angels will come in the form of a person. My next door neighbor, who used to live there years ago, she was in a real bad automobile accident in Wilmington, and she was pinned under a car. Her legs were pinned under the car. And a lady came by and knelt down and whispered in her ear and said, "It's going to be okay. You're not going to lose your legs," because she heard him saying that we might have to cut her, you know, she's going to lose her legs. We have to cut things. And the lady told her, just, and the lady stroked her hair and sat right there with her the whole time until they got her out underneath the car. And when they put her in the ambulance, she said, "I'd like to thank the lady who was sitting with me." And they said, "Nobody was sitting with you." She said, "Yeah, there was a lady," and she described what the lady had on, and she was sitting right there, and she held my hand and stroked my head the whole time that you guys were getting me out from underneath the car. And she says, "I know that that was an angel." And the angel told her exactly how her leg was going to heal. And the doctor said she would never walk again, but she was up and running up and down the, she's a principal in one of these schools right now, but she was up running up and down her driveway, exercising her leg within a week. But the angel had told her what was going to happen. Everything the angel told her was going to happen, happened. All right? So angels are real. Now, the other one of the stories I'm going to tell you that my daughter, oldest daughter, one time was married to a young man. He worked out on, they were up there at the Bay Bridge, you know, rebuilding that new Bay Bridge, went up there. And he was out on the, I guess, the boat or something. And, you know, those buoys they have up in the air, those things they have up in the air. Well, he said, all of a sudden, my face appeared to him and said, "Look up." When he looked up, that thing snapped. Before he could push the other guy out of the way, the thing fell and crushed the other guy. He said, "But it was your face, and you told me to look up." Now, see, he's familiar with me. Now, if he'd have seen any other face, it probably scared him, and he probably froze in his spot, right? But God let him see my face, and I spoke in my voice and told him, "Look up." Angels are real. There's many, many stories we could tell, but I want you to know angels are real and they are around about us. And we have to start asking God, "Let me see through your eyes. Let me see your angelic host. Let me show you some ways angels can help in times of transition." You personally have an angel. In Matthew 18:10, Jesus said, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." What's it say? "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels are always there, see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Now, when I was first born again, I was in the room where I always went to pray. And all of a sudden, I saw this huge giant. And I said, you know, he was dressed like one of those Roman soldiers standing up on a mountain holding a spear. And I said, "God, who is that?" And his hair, long hair, was blowing in the breeze. I said, "God, who is that?" He says, "That's Michael, your guardian angel. He will always be with you to protect you." I can see that vision just as plain today as I did 30-some years ago. So maybe you ought to ask God who your angel is and what his name is. And allow him, ask him, let you see him. But no matter what I go through in my life, I know that I have an angel that protects me. We see angelic activity in the New Testament was common. Let's read Acts 12, 4 through 11. "So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of..." This is Peter, I think, yeah. "So when he had arrested Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by Peter, and a light shone in the prison, and the angel struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly,' and his chains fell off his hands." You know, that's sort of, when I read that, you know, how many times have you been awoken, you know, and you wonder how you go, "I'll bet an angel come in." Well, no, don't bet. I believe an angel came in and smacked you to get you awake, to get your attention. And you really didn't go back to sleep because God started speaking to you. "Then the angel said to Peter, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals.' And so he did. And he said to Peter, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision." See that? "When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him." The angel supernaturally opened that gate. The angel took him to safety, then departed from him. Now, and when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Now let's see what happened in Acts 12, verse 12. So when Peter had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." See, they were praying for his release. And when God released him, they couldn't believe it. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. See how we pray? We do the very same thing today. We pray and we pray and we pray and we pray. And when God does it, we just stand there with our mouth gaped open. Can't believe he actually did that. But who went there and set him free? An angel. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, angels are ministering spirits to those who inherit salvation. So each one of us who are walking in righteousness and are going to inherit salvation, angels are there to minister to us. We focus so much on demons, but remember only 1/3 of the angels fell. 2/3 are still on our side. We need to understand the ministry of angels. Angels can offer information in times of transition. Angels really mean messenger. So this is one of the primary functions of an angel. Gabriel announced the birth of John the Baptist. Find that in Luke 1, 5 through 25. Gabriel announced the birth of Jesus in Luke 1, 26 through 38. God used angels to interpret visions he gave to Daniel, Zechariah, and John in the book of Revelation. Angels shared with the shepherds the location of Christ's birthplace in the manger in Luke 2, 8 through 20. An angel warned Joseph to flee to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill the child Jesus in Matthew 2, 13. An angel announced Christ's resurrection to the women who found his empty tomb in John chapter 20. An angel told Abraham about the birth of Isaac in Genesis 17 and 18. Warning, we should seek the Lord for information, not angels. So, you know, don't be asking angels for things. You seek God first. All right, now this is a word the Lord God gave me as I was typing this. There are angels on assignment daily, even while you are sleeping. They are my messengers sent forth to lead, guide, and direct my servants. I want each of you here tonight to believe that my angels are even right now standing all throughout this sanctuary, and they are just waiting for one of you to believe that I can do the mighty works you need done, the mighty works you cannot do yourself. I have legion upon legions of angels at my disposal, and does not my word tell you that you have the very same thing? Oh, how I wish you would allow me to open up your spiritual eyes right now and show you the angelic beings all around about you. So God gave that this afternoon for you tonight. Amen. So Brother Larry told me the more he found out, the more you call on angels to assist you, the more angels you will have to help you. Angels can offer direction in times of transition. Well, remember that the young man who was, you know, into the demonic thing, and he said he used to send his angels to kill God's people, and this one demon came back and said we can't touch him because there was two big people standing around about him. So there was two huge angels protecting that guy, and his demons couldn't touch him. All right, it's awesome how the demonic world can see angels, and us people walking in light cannot. You ever think it's because the dark side knows there are angels of God, just like there are angels of darkness, there are angels of light, and they just know they're there, and they just know what they're doing. And see, we can't quite comprehend that. We can't quite believe that. I mean, after all, why would there ever be angelic beings, you know, around about us fighting for us? That's how our minds think. Angels can offer direction in times of transition. All right, so let me just tell you one thing. One time when I was a little girl, have you ever went to the river and rode the rapids, you know, gone on a inner tube and rode the rough waters down? Well, me and my brothers and sisters always did that. And this one, and we always used to eat those little green crab apples. Do you know what I'm talking about? Them little tiny things that catch in your throat. Well, anyhow, we was going down these rapids, and I heard one of my brothers and sisters yelling. So I turned around and said, "What?" And when I did, I didn't see the tree limb hit me in the head, knocked me in the water. The apple lodged in my throat, and I was drowning. And next thing I knew, I was on shore, you know, and somebody was pumping water out of me, and I was all right. But when I looked up, there was a man standing up. You know, there was a railroad track. He was standing up here in the railroad track and just waved and walked on. I know that was an angel to come in down in that water. And I know that angel was watching over us because we were dumb kids, okay? And he was watching over us, and he came down and got me out of that water. Well, they said some man came. That's what my brother said. Some man came and pulled you out of the water, and then he just smiled and walked away. And that's when I saw him up on the bridge. So, you know, right there, an angel saved my life, all right? You need to stop and think about maybe some accidents you had or something, and how did you ever come out of those things? One other time I was swimming, we went to the reservoir, I think we called it, and you know there was a, you know how they put the line out, you can only go this far and don't go any further. Well, we was all out there swimming, and I made this girl mad, so she's off fixed shoes, so she grabbed me by the leg and dragged me clear out, or to where there was no bottom, and left me. Of course, I got hysterical and I was screaming and help, help. Well, nobody. Well, I went down for the third time. Let's just long story short. Next thing I knew, I was laying up on shore. Somebody pumping water out of me again. And then they said, "You'll be okay now." And they disappeared. I know that was an angel of God that came in. You see, God had a purpose for my life. And I know, and my brother said, "We don't know where this person came from. They just came up out of the water with you in your arms. We don't know where they came from." So I know that God has a purpose for my life, and he kept me safe. I can just about tell you that every one of you in here, you've had an experience that you just shrugged off and didn't realize that it was God and his angelic beings there with you. All right. I said angels can offer direction in times of transition. An angel directed Abraham's servant in Genesis 24, 1 through 7 to find a wife for his son. Abraham told him, "He shall send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there." The angel directed the servant straight to Rebekah. So he already told him, an angel's going to go before you. The angel's going to pick out the woman that's supposed to marry my son, and then you bring her on back. Abraham knew the existence of angels was real, and he talked to them frequently. And so, you know, I was going to bring up some scriptures, but all through Abraham's life, he was talking to the angels. You know, so just go back and read about Abraham and how he talked to the angels and how they directed him. And I noticed one thing, he always called them Lord. And so I called Brother Christopher Gore, and I said, "Chris, turn to Genesis, I forgot what chapter." And I said, "Let's read this together." And I said, "He's talking to God there, isn't he?" And then he read it. He said, "Well, let me read." He got to some other Bible. He said, "Yep, he's talking to God." Now I said, "Now I'll just say, go down to chapter verse 17. That's the angels." And he went down and he looked in this other Bible, and he said, "Well, yep, but they're different. Yeah, that's the angels, and that was God." So, you know, if you read about the angels, they called them Lord. They always called them Lord. And see, like he was saying, "Lord, you know, if you wait, I'll go kill an animal and feed you." And then this is a two of them sat down. So it wasn't God. It was two of them. It was two angels had come to tell him about Sarah going to have a baby. And Sarah thought, how ridiculous. And see what? An angel might come and tell you something very ridiculous too. But don't be like Sarah and you know, laugh and giggle about it. You know, trust God that he sent the angel your way. All right, an angel directed Philip in Acts 8:26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise up and go toward the south on the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" See, he told him exactly how to go, what route to take. All right, so one time, I was thinking about that. One time we was in South Dakota, and we was out hunting. I used to love to hunt. I didn't. Then after a bit, I quit doing that. But anyhow, we was out hunting deer, and this young kid was with us. First of all, he tried to shoot me, climbed up the hill with his gun loaded, you know, went right past my head. But then the little bird wouldn't listen to us. He's 12 years old and thought he knew it all. He left us and got lost in the woods. And have you ever been in the woods when there's a real bad snowstorm? In South Dakota, they get really super bad snowstorms instantly. And when you're in the woods, the wind, you can't tell where the words are coming from. It sounds like they're coming from all around you. And so anyhow, they kept yelling, and then I got lost, trying to find him. So I stopped. See, I didn't know what to know about God now, but there was something in me. There was always something in me to direct me. And I stopped and I said, all right, God, I'm getting panicky. I don't know where I'm at. And I said, I've lost his footprints. I'm following all kind of footprints right now. It was a snow blizzard. And they tell you, do not go out in a snow blizzard because you will get lost. And I said, I'm going to stand right here and I want you to direct me. Then all of a sudden a perfect peace came over me and I heard, go that way. And so I went the direction he said and led me right out to the road. But I had to turn around to go that way. And when I got out to the road, I looked down, and here was this little 12-year-old I like to strangle, and the men had him. And now, then they were looking for me. But see, God, and you know, God sent an angel, and an angel told me how to go. I'm telling you guys, if God is for you, who can be against you? You know, I've walked all my life dumb. I didn't know God. There was something in me leading God and directing me. I didn't know that. So I'm telling you tonight, there's something in you leading, guiding, and directing you. And it will lead you in the way it wants you, that God wants you to go. Not what it wants you, but the way God wants you to go. And if you start going the wrong way, believe me, it will turn you around. And you'll know you're being turned around. All right, number 10, an angel directed Cornelius to call for Peter in Acts 1, 3 through 5. And it says, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision, an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. When he looked at him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? See, he called the angel Lord. And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring back Simon, whose surname is Peter. See, they were praying, so God sent the angel to give them a message. Warning, be mindful that God can and will send angels to direct you. Angels can protect you in times of transition. Number 11, an angel protected Daniel in the lion's den in Daniel 6, 19 through 22. Daniel told the king, my God has sent his angel, see that, and has shut the lion's mouths before it ever happened, so that they have not hurt me because, oh no, this was afterwards, that's what it was. So that they have not hurt me because innocence was found in me. You see that? I never saw that before today. So my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because innocence was found in me before him and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. So if you're walking in the righteousness of God, he's going to send an angel for your assistance, and the devil's not going to be able to harm you. Number 12, an angel protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace in Daniel 3, 26 through 29. The Bible says God sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They have defied the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Did you ever hear a story about the lady who come home from a Bible study and she walked into her house and there was a robber in there and he had a gunner and he was going to kill her and she said, the feathers are covering you, feathers are covering you. She was waving her hands, scared the guy so bad he ran out of the house. All she could think about was feathers. But anyhow, they caught the guy and he said, she scared me to death. He said, when she was yelling the feathers, I saw somebody come in the room with her and it scared me and I ran out. So it doesn't matter if you remember the right thing or not, just yell something. Amen. All right, 13. An angel spoke to Moses sternly about angelic protection in Exodus 23, 20 through 22. Indeed, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on guard before him, be on guard before the angel, and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if you diligently obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. So you can't come against an angel. You've got to do what the angel's telling you to do. You can't argue with him. He was sent directly from God, and he's telling you what to do. Warning, God is our stronghold, our fortress, and our protector. And Psalm 91 promises angelic protection to those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Psalm 9, 19 through 12. I mean 9 through 12. Psalm 91, 9 through 12. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. So you have to do that first. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Right, there's a promise from God that if you make him your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. You know, a lot of us have gone through a lot of trials and tribulations and trauma because we needed to go through that so God could use us as a vessel of honor that he's going to use us for. Now, since you've gone through that, now God has put a wall of protection up around about you, and the angelic host is there to protect you, and the enemy won't be able to plague you any longer. That just came from God, all right? Come on. You know, sometimes you wonder, why do I have to go through all that? Well, you had to go through some things to build character in you, to strengthen you, to let you understand that God is in control of all areas of your life, just not one or two. All right? Angels can bring provision in times of transition. Number 14, an angel provided water for Hagar after Abraham expelled her in Genesis 21, 15 through 19. You know the story there. You know, his wife said, I'm not going to have any children, so here is my handmaiden, you know, have a child through her. And then after she did that, then the handmaiden was making fun of her, so then they got jealous, and she got upset with Abraham and said, it's all your fault, you did this. And, you know, that's how the story goes. He says, she's your handmaiden, do whatever you want to with her. So she kicked her out into the desert, you know. And so what happened? An angel come by and took care of her. Now, somebody kicks you out on the street, are you going to go back and beat their door down and smack them on the head? Or are you going to say, well, God, I really need an angel right now. And I need that angel to open up a door for me so I can enter in and not sit out here on the sidewalk. I would do that. 15, an angel brought Elijah food after his battle with the false prophets in his run from Jezebel in 1 Kings 19, 5 and 6. As he lay and slept under the juniper tree, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. He looked, and there was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water at his head. And he ate and drank and lay down again. When we get really tired, ladies, let's just lay down and tell God, send an angel, bake me a cake. Amen. Too tired to cook right now, so send an angel, let him do the cooking. I need an angel to come help me do house cleaning. You think that'll work? All right, warning, God is our provider, okay? God is always our provider. Angels can war on your behalf in times of transition. Number 16, God sent an angel to fight for Israel in 2 Kings 19:35. On that night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When others woke up early in the morning, these were all dead bodies. God sent an army of angels to go and kill the people for his people. See that? Do you think that, you know, that's why you can go ahead and go to bed in perfect peace, knowing that God's able, God is taking care of you. Not able, but he is able, but he is taking care of you. We always say, well, God's able. No, he is taking care of you. You don't have to worry about anybody coming and breaking in your house. God is taking care of you. That's an awful lot of people. 185,000. Oh, 185,000. That's a lot of people, isn't it? I'll bet they just slaughtered them in just a few seconds, where the army would have to probably do it for weeks at an end, right? God just made a quick work of it. Don't you? You know, we need to start believing these angelic beings and let God do a quick work of everything in our lives so that we don't have to struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. Jay Bartlett and I think you two do too. You use angels to come and assist you in deliverance, right? And they help, right? Make it easier, right? Just tell the angel, go in there and smack them things around and make them all come out at one time. Amen? Don't you get tired of fooling with devils, though? I do. I get tired of hearing about them. I get tired of watching what they do to people. God, just go out and go down in there and just, well, send an angel. We obviously send an angel down in there and have them beat them up and cast them out. Throw them out. Well, God said we're going to come a time, you know, in this season where whenever we walked into a room, every devil's going to jump up and run. Yeah. Amen. Just like it did for Jesus. You know, when Jesus walked in the room, the devils got all excited and they left the people. And that's what God said is going to happen to us. But we have to believe. We have to be walking in the same footsteps Jesus is walking in. That's holiness and righteousness. Amen. And, you know, if you're starting a new ministry, God, if you're starting any type of ministry, God will tell you exactly how to do it. He'll lay out the blueprints, and he'll just be with you the whole way, and he'll just keep you on the right track. You won't have to say, well, how should I do this, and how should I do that? And I'm going to tell you right now, don't go ask other people how to do it, because they'll tell you how they want it done, and you won't know how God wants it done. You need to take before God and say, God, how do you want me to do this? Then do it the way God, that's what I do running this church. It's always, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? I don't care what y'all have to say. Because you can get me in a hole somewhere. But God won't. He'll always escalate us. All right? All right, then number 17. And God showed Elijah's servant the angel armies that stood with him in 2 Kings 6:15-17. All right, number 18. God sent angels to warn Lot to leave Sodom before they destroyed it. Genesis 19:1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. See, two angels, but they called them Lord, if you read it. Read the whole story. And Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And if you read that, I think he told him not to do that. But he called them Lord. But God sent the angels to Sodom to talk to Lot, to tell Lot, little dumb Lot, that he was going to destroy the city and he should leave if he didn't want to be destroyed with it. See? God will always send somebody to warn you. If you're not hearing his voice, he will send somebody to warn you when danger is lurking to tell you to do a certain thing. And you need to start listening to what you hear and do what God's asking you to do. Warning, we should ask God to intervene on our behalf, which gives him the freedom and flexibility to send angels or help us in whatever way he chooses. Now, I said that, but a lot of people have been to heaven say that the angels are just standing around with their arms crossed, waiting for one of us to put them to work, to send them on assignment. And I didn't write the scripture down, but somewhere in there it tells you that you are supposed to put your angels to work. You can say, God, will you please send an angel to do my... I do say this. I'll send the angel and I'll say, God, will you please instruct him to do what I ask him to do, is what I say. But we're allowed to do that. We're allowed to tell the angel to go and do something. But I reinforce it with, God, will you please tell him to do... He has to do what I say because your word says so, right? That's what I should do, right? You're agreeing with me? Okay. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who are mighty, and do his commands, and obey the voice of his word. So the angels will only obey the voice of the word. In other words, you cannot have them do something that's outside of the word of God. It has to line up with the word of God, and then they will obey what you ask them to do. The Message Bible says, so bless God, you angels ready and able to fly at his bidding, quick to hear and do what he says. Bless God, all you armies of angels alert to respond to whatever he wills. Now, I read a story not too long ago where these two men were traveling somewhere and they were way behind time, you know, and they said, we're never going to get to this other church on time. And next thing they knew, they were in the place. They were going to Ohio, and they were in Ohio in a split second. Now, how do you think they got there? They didn't fly. Not naturally, they didn't fly. But I believe an angel of God was sent to transport them from the place they were to the place they had to go. If you really read the stories about angels, you will see that God has done so many supernatural things through angels, and yet the body of Christ still does not use them to help them. And God told me one time, the body of Christ does not use all the weapons that they have at their disposal. And I really believe that angels are one of our weapons. And I really believe that God wants us to start not only reading about them, but I believe with all my heart God wants us to start seeing the angels. We've seen angels in this sanctuary before. We can see them again. You know, sometimes have you ever been walking off, bump into somebody and nobody's there? Well, you got too close to your angel and you bumped into each other. Amen. Or sometimes you see them moving out of the corner of your eye. I just don't want to see a movement. I want to see them. I've told God, I said, all right, now I'm tired of seeing them out of the corner of my eye. I want to see them right in front of my face, because Lester Sumrall said they used to come into his bedroom at night, tap him on the foot, wake him up. One would be sitting in the rocking chair rocking. Two would be sitting on the edge of bed, and they would give them instruction from God how to minister and laugh and have a good time. Now, if that can happen to Lester Sumrall, why can't it happen to you and I? But then Lester Sumrall had a bad start. You know, America didn't want him. So he went overseas. In America, he was preaching to the cabbage heads. But America wouldn't accept him. He was 18, I believe, or 19, somewhere real young. So he went overseas, and he started his ministry over there and did a great and powerful work for the Lord. He was rejected, but God accepted him in another country. And he just had angelic visitations all the time. So if you're still complaining about all the stuff you're going through, you're never going to see an angel. Us complaining bunch have got to stop. We have to stop complaining, right? So that we can start seeing in the spirit realm. You know, we have to believe to see. We have to believe to receive. And if we're constantly questioning God, we're not believing. God told us, spoke through me, I don't know if it was this year or last year, he said he was going to send angels into the courtrooms, and they were going to go into the file cabinets, and they were going to lose people's records. And they wouldn't be charged with what they did. And one time there was when I was still in my home, there was a gentleman came, and he had first night there, and I spoke to him, and I said, by the way, God told me to tell you that you have to go to court in the morning. He said, I didn't know this. You have to go to court in the morning, and when you walk in there, you'll never see a judge. They're just going to tell you that the case is closed, and they're going to tell you to walk around and leave. And when he laughed and said to his wife, he said, she doesn't know what she's talking about, because I'm going to prison. There's no way I'm not going to go to prison. When he went to court the next day, he walked in there, and wherever the clerk, whatever you call her, she said, we don't have any records on you. There's nothing we can do with you, so you just go ahead and leave. I mean, that made a believer out of him. He started a church. And so, you know, what did God do? He sent an angel in there and told him, get his records and destroy them. I don't want him there when he goes to court the next day. You see this? God can do anything that he wants to do. And this was a number. In fact, when he came that night, he was drunk, all right? This was an alcoholic. He didn't believe in nothing. But his wife convinced him, you have to go to this church. They're just wild there. So he did, and God told him what he told him, and he left saying, I know she's crazy now. But God made a believer out of him the next morning. He didn't go to jail, and he's serving God. So what are you going to believe? You're going to believe the report of the Lord or the report of the devil? You're going to believe there are angels? You believe in demons, and they're angels. They're angels, but they're the dark side angels. So why can't you believe in God's light angels, L-I-G-H-T, angels of light? Why can't you believe that? You know, what is so difficult with that? And you can see, you see the demons, the dark demons all the time. But yet you can't see the demons of light. I mean, the spirit of the angels of light. Why is that? Let's ask ourselves that. Why is that? I'm hearing God say, because your mind's programmed wrong. So much doubt and unbelief has been programmed in your mind, you can't believe that such things really exist in the kingdom realm. All right? I mean, we can look at people and say they got demons, right? Well, why can't we look at people and see that an angel of God standing around about them? Come on. Remember that one night we first got our brand new car and we left here and somebody hit us, come down the road, and all of a sudden they were on the other side of the road and hit us, and we went around the ring, we end up down in somebody's yard, and, you know, and my airbag popped open, and, you know, it made me sound funny when I talked, and I said to Larry, I said, did we die and go to heaven? He said, no. He said, your airbag just popped, and that's a gas, making you talk like that. Get out of the car before we get hit again. But anyhow, you know, we could have been killed that night. We could have been killed that night, but we weren't. Even though I thought it was in heaven because I talked funny. But see, just you have to stop and think, you know, oh, well, I'm just glad it didn't hit me. Someone said, well, you know what? Maybe there was an angel there and veered that car off of you so he didn't hit you straight on like he was going to, because the car was coming right at us. Amen? So are you going to believe or are you not going to believe? Are you going to trust God? It's all through the Word. The angels were all through the Word. In the Old Testament, you read about them all the time. In New Testament, well, did I write down here how many? Did I say how many was in the New Testament and the Old Testament? Did I say that? No? Oh, I've skipped over that. Angels are mentioned 108 times in the Old Testament and 165 times in the New Testament. And the New Testament is much shorter. So it's mentioned 108 times in the Old Testament, 165 times in the New Testament. And, you know, I like to read the Old Testament about the angels because they just came and just told you what to do, period, flat out. This is what you have to do now to do this. And after killing your enemies for you, you know, and bringing you food and making crows feed you and, you know, all kind of stuff. But you have to take the Old Testament, New Testament, and use them together because all the miracles are all through the Bible. I believe in that some of us in here are going, or maybe all of you, I believe that all of you are going to actually see an angel. And don't conjure one up, please. But you're going to actually see an angel. Not just bump into them or not just out of the corner of your eye see them move. But you're really, truly going to see an angel. One night, not too long ago, we was laying in the bed and Gabriel said, Mama, I said, what? They said, something's standing over there in that corner. I said, no, they're in. He said, yeah, it is, Mama. It's over there. And I looked, I didn't see it, but he saw it. And I know it wasn't dark, you know, it wasn't a demon because it was peace in the bedroom. So he actually saw an angel, but I couldn't see it, but he could see it. So, you know, sometimes through the eyes of a child. Maybe we have to go back to our childlike faith and just start believing that it is. We don't have to have anybody prove that it is. We just have to believe that it is. And the angels are with us at all times. Father, I thank you for the word about angels. I thank you, Father God, that they are a weapon that you have given us to use. And Father, tonight, I just felt in my spirit as I was putting this together that tonight what you want to do is open up our spiritual eyes so we can see the angelic host. You want to open up our spiritual eyes, Father God, so that we can move on and have the, because you told us that the angels were going to be working with us during this dispensation. And they were going to be protecting us, and they were going to be telling us exactly what to do, when to do, and how to do it. So, Father, tonight, I know that you want to open up our spiritual eyes so we can see into the spirit realm and see your angelic host. And I'm asking, Father God, as the people come up to the altar tonight, that your angel walk by and put eye salve on their eyes and open up their eyes so they can see as you see, Father. Just like your servant, your prophet, in the word said, God, open up his eyes so he can see what I see. And then you allowed him to see the army. Father God, I'm asking you to do the very same thing to your people here tonight. Have the angel put eye salve on their eyes and let them see into the spirit realm. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. So if you want that, you come on up. And I believe with every fiber of my being that God is going to, an angel is going to anoint your eyes with eye salve, and you're going to be able to see the angelic host. Amen. I want you to surrender yourself totally, completely, 100% to the power of God and allow him to do what he has to do so you can start seeing into the spirit realm and receiving all the signs, wonders, and miracles. God said to tell you guys up here, you have to decrease so he can increase in you to reveal to you what he wants to reveal to you. So get out of yourself, trust and believe, and then receive.